Call the meeting to order. Need a motion to modify or adopt the agenda.
Motion to accept, to adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, approval of minutes from our October 9th meeting. Any changes? I got a motion to approve.
I'll make the motion to approve as presented.
I will second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Public appearances.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'd like to request that on the next agenda that an item be added to discuss the emergency changes that were made to the 10-year capital improvement plan last year. There were a lot of changes made, and I didn't see them come through the committee, specifically West St. Joseph Street being moved up and doing a full reconstruct instead of simply a resurfacing. Thank you.
Thank you. Item number four, 2020 street repair project.
So we're starting to plan for next year's street repair resurfacing projects. We'll have two contracts next year. The first of two I want to focus on tonight, the second contract. We've already discussss that, but we'll quickly review that right now. The second contract will include Stanton and Arbor Lane. We had previously submitted a LRIP grant for that. We have received that grant in the amount of roughly $52,000. On that particular street, we'll come in and remove the pavement full depth and make spot repair to the curb and gutter, roughly speaking, a little over 1,800 feet. And that would be from the cul-de-sac, and that would be east to Rosemont.
Okay.
The cost of that project is, roughly speaking, $200,000.
And the grant was from?
It was $52,000 local road improvement program. It was from the DOT. We did get it, yep. We haven't yet been officially notified, but hopefully we will soon. That particular contract will go out later because we cannot advertise that project until we have a signed state municipal agreement. We're hopeful to have that end of January, early February. When we have that, we'll bring it back. We'll get the grant approved, and we'll have President Raptor sign that. After that grant that state municipal agreement has been signed, then we can advertise the project. I'm hoping to advertise that project middle of February. The first contract, I would like to talk about the streets that we're going to resurface under the first contract. My plan would be to get started on that now and get that project advertised early in January with a bid opening end of January so we can hopefully get good prices. Jeff and I have discussed this project. It somewhat follows what we have in the CIP. It would consist of Garland. It would be Garland Street. It would be a resurfacing of Garland from Webster to Libel Street. And a rehabilitation of St. Mary Street. I have up above, I have the 10-year CIP plan shown. St. Mary Street is currently being shown as a reconstruction project, with Roselawn being a rehabilitation project. We had originally discussed the rehabilitation of Roselawn next year, with the reconstruction of St. Mary's in 2021. I had driven the projects. I had driven Roselawn, and I had noticed that the hydrants look awfully old. And took a closer look at the underground utilities underneath Roselawn and had discovered that the water main is cast iron pipe, and we've had a number of breaks. I'm a little hesitant to throw any money at that project right now because of the condition of the underground utilities, mainly the water main. We took a look. I took a look at St. Mary Street, and I've been in contact with a few people on St. Mary's, and we've over the past year and a half, we have discussed an improvement to St. Mary's, and they have indicated that it's on the CIP. It's shown as a reconstruct. The CIP is only a guide. I'm proposing to rehabilitate St. Mary's because we were in there in 2015 and removed and replaced in its entirety the water main from Riverside Drive to Webster, along with a lot of curb and gutter, roughly speaking, about 2,700 linear feet of curb and gutter. The cost of that project was $400,000. My plan is, under this year's street repair project, to do half of St. Mary's next year. And it would consist of with the west half being done next year and the east half being done in 2021. I think we can still achieve the same end result. For the most part, we're going to have a new roadway out there. We're gonna remove and replace the asphalt pavement in its entirety, a full depth, with removal and replacement of a lot of the curb and gutter. If there's money available, if need be, if we televise, we find out there needs to be spot repair to the underground infrastructure, we'll take a look at that and we can address that. I think we're going to achieve the end result. End result at the end of 2021, we'll have a new surface. On top of that, the water main, it will be 4 years old. It was done 2015, so 6 years old. So I know it doesn't follow what we're currently showing because we're showing St. Mary's as a reconstruct, but in the end, I think we're meeting the objective. We're going to have a new riding surface, and I would say that somewhere between 50% and 75% of the curb and gutter will be removed and replaced.
And you got extra in there because of the boulevards, right? There's two, three of those in there.
And that is the reason that we need to stage that project, because of its overall length from Riverside to Webster is roughly 3,000 feet. And then with the boulevards, you have, you know, two times as much curb and gutter to remove and replace. Not that you have to remove and replace all of it, but the defective curb and gutter we would. So what we would do then, we would move Roselawn from the resurfacing part of the plan down to the reconstruction. We would replace St. Mary's with Roselawn under.
Is it Roselawn or St. Francis?
Roselawn. We would just flip-flop the two. St. Mary's would be a maintenance project, and Roselawn would get moved from repair resurfacing project down to a reconstruction project.
2019? And you've got that Roselawn in 2019.
Yes, and we didn't get to that this year.
Okay.
We have televised the sanitary sewer and storm sewer for both Roselawn and St. Mary's. That was done in 2005. I took a close look at the condition of St. Mary's sanitary sewer. It is concrete pipe. Based on the televised report in 2005, the pipe appears to be in fair to good condition. It's a concrete pipe. It can be, if need be, repaired via a liner if we see some issues with it. If we go in next year at the west half of the project and we find pipe failure, if we find some major issues, we'll make a spot repair. If not, remove and replace in its entirety a section of pipe from manhole to manhole. So that's the plan.
So half of St. Mary's would be resurfaced.
Rehabilitated.
Yep. Next year, in 2020.
Yep.
And the other half in 2021.
Correct.
West half being first, east half being
yes. second. Yep. With improvement to the curb and gutter, spot repair to the curb and gutter. And again, in 2015, when we went in to remove and replace the water main, they had removed and replaced a lot of the curb and gutter on the north side of the roadway. I know
the cost of that project comes down significantly, I would hope.
Yes. Yeah, we have put together a preliminary cost estimate. It is a little more expensive than most because of the layout of the street with the boulevards and having twice as much curb and gutter. But we've estimated that project $300,000 with a 10% contingency.
Better than 1.2. But the 1.2 will now become Roseland.
Yes.
Yep. I'm just asking, forgive my ignorance on this. So when we're talking about street repair or resurfacing, is that basically just spot repair, or is it the entire street is actually ripped up and repaved with all new gutter or new curb, or is it just where needed?
We have two types of repair projects or street maintenance projects. And it consists of a resurfacing project would be we come in and mill off a couple inches of asphalt, and then we put back whatever we milled off in its entirety, full width of the roadway for a certain length, from side road to side road, from street to street. Rehabilitation project, which is still under what we're calling street repair, what we call street maintenance. A rehabilitation project, we come in and remove the asphalt pavement in its entire thickness. We come in and pull up all of the asphalt pavement. We prep the existing base below. We come in, shape, compact, and then we put back whatever we removed. In most cases, it's 4 inches. We put down two layers of asphalt, a lower and an upper layer.
So
it's not just a patch. It's
so the street repair or resurfacing doesn't really include curbs.
It does.
Oh, it does.
We do make spot repair to sections of bad curb and gutter, and that would be for a number of reasons. One, it's severely cracked. Two, it's tipped back. Three, it settled for whatever reason, and now it's pounding water.
Got it. Okay. But reconstruction project, then, is when we're actually replacing sewer lines underneath
yes.
and everything else.
Yes. Yeah.
Got it.
We come in and remove the pavement, asphalt in base, and then improvement to the underground utilities.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
No problem. So moving forward, the plan would be to begin to put together the contract. With your approval of these streets, I want to start putting together these contracts now with my intent to, after the 1st of January, to get the first project advertised with a bid opening end of January to hopefully hit these contractors when they're hungry and get good prices. I can't put out that second contract until I have a signed state municipal agreement. When we have that, that would get advertised and that would get bid.
So for the 2020 maintenance projects, are all the other streets still included that you have? So Tower View, Bernice,
no.
Sunny Slope, somewhere?
No. And again, we have to at some point after we after there have been some bed openings, when we have some better numbers, we'll go in and adjust and modify this current CIP plan that was put together in 2018. What we're showing on here is a guide. Let me bring up.
Well, and it makes sense. We don't know what the cost is going to be. Last year they went up 30%. Mm-hmm. They go up 30%. We can't continue to do the number of streets that we do for the same amount of money.
Right.
Hopefully we can bring the cost down and keep to an aggressive schedule.
I overwrote a wrong file here. I had Jeff highlight the projects we've done over the past 3 years, and the projects that we had, the streets that we had resurfaced, repaired this year. I don't believe any of those streets had fallen on this within the CIP. Okay. So
you're going to update the CIP once we open the bids and know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So I would like a motion. If there are any more questions on.
Motion to split the St. Mary's project in two? Or just the whole?
The plan that needs to be put forward.
A motion to approve the streets that we're recommending for next year's street repair project. And that would be the west half of St. Mary's, Harbor and Stanton Court, and Garland Street from Webster to Libel Street.
Garland is a new one?
Garland, that would be we'd be moving that project up. That would be a resurfacing project. We'd come in and mill an inch and a half, 2 inches, and put back 2 inches of pavement. What we want to do is we need to start to maintain the streets that we've reconstructed 10, 12 years ago. We want to make sure that we're doing our best to maintain the roads that we've just reconstructed. We hope to get 50 years out of a new roadway, a reconstructed roadway. To get to 50, there are maintenance activities that you have to do. First of which is, within 2 years of reconstructing that road, you have to go out there and crack fill the joints. Within 10 or 12 years then, you want to go out there and resurface that street, mill a couple inches and put back 2 inches of new asphalt. You do that again one more time, another resurfacing project, and then the third maintenance activity then is a rehabilitation, where you come in full depth pavement removal, reshape, recompact that base, and put back 4 inches of asphalt. That should take you to the end of that pavement's life. That's what you're hopeful.
So are we moving Garland up by 5 years because it was recently reconstructed and we want to maintain it?
Yes.
Is that what?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So when was Garland?
2006.
2006.
Yeah.
Was reconstructed. Okay.
And we did that with Beaupré this year. Off the top of my head, I don't know when Beaupré, but the same time period, 2005, 2006, it was reconstructed. Mm-hmm. So every year through maintenance, our street maintenance program, we want to pick one of those streets that we had just recently reconstructed to make sure that we're following through with the proper maintenance.
But next year that would mean that we're only really doing 2.5 streets to repair or resurface next year. That's the proposal, right? Instead of the 5 or 6.
Yeah,
that
and that and what they've listed on the CIP, mm-hmm, is very optimistic. And I'm not even sure with 2018 dollars, with 2018 prices, with what we typically get on an annual basis for resurfacing. That seems awfully optimistic. I guess I don't know the project lengths, but well, you, for $500,000, you would hope that you'd be able to go in and resurface, repair three streets. Now I know there's been just some discussion on sidewalk along St. Mary's. It doesn't, just because we're going to come in and rehabilitate St. Mary's does not rule out a sidewalk project. We do show sidewalk on St. Mary's under the bike and pedestrian comprehensive plan. Sidewalk can be added at a later date as long as, you know, the topography slopes from outward into the street. And we, because you want to have positive drainage from the home into the street. You don't want to trap water behind walk in somebody's yard. But we can drive it. We can look at it. We're going to be replacing a lot of the curb and gutter on St. Mary's on the west half and as well as on the east half of the project. If I see that there isn't enough of a grade difference, we can, because it's a rehabilitation project, because we're going to remove the pavement full depth, we can slightly lower that back of curb elevation on one side to improve the drainage that I just talked about. So it's, I'm not saying that we're not going to do it. It's just that's still feasible, not under this project, but it could happen down the road.
Arbor Lane in Stanton, that's getting paid for completely by the grant, or is that a match?
No, that is a $200,000 project. We're going to get $50,000.
Okay.
Yeah. Now we do pull. I know if you're doing the math, well, we're well over $500. But there are other accounts that we pull from when we do this work. We have a curb and gutter account. We have a sidewalk account. We have an account for adjusting manhole covers, and all of that cost is included in our preliminary cost estimates. So, okay.
So on 2016, 17, 18, we didn't do all these streets that are actually listed.
Let me see if I can.
If not, why do we still have them listed there?
We just haven't had the time yet to update the CIP plan, and I have, where did I put it? I can't believe that I overwrote. I have the plan that Jeff had highlighted for me. I brought it all in here. Is this one? Yes, here we go. I had scanned this, and I had overwrote it. I overwrote the wrong file, but I had Jeff highlight the projects that we have completed over the past 3 years. In 2016, we had completed Hawthorne, Chantilly Rue, Miramar, Briar, and East River. 2017. We repaired East River, East Briar, and LeBron. 2018, we had repaired Floral, East River, Service Road, and Schrader. And Floral and Schrader were one street. This year, we had resurfaced, repair.
Sorry, 18 was also Service. What was it? What were the other streets?
Schrader, Floral, Schrader.
Yep.
It's one street. And East River Drive.
And then you said Service Row?
Yep. Here, I can actually, I can make a couple copies real quick. If
just send them to.
Yeah, just scan them, send them again.
Okay.
Right.
2009, this year we had repaired Beaupre, Warren, Brookridge, and Woodrow. And Beaupre, Woodrow, it's one street segment.
how's this for motion? You'd like us to recommend to the board that in the capital improvement plan right now we move...
I don't know if we have to make any reference to the capital improvement plan. So a recommendation to the board to move ahead with the following streets.
Arbor Lane, Staten, the west end of St. Mary's and Garland to 2020, and the east end of St. Mary's to 2021 for resurfacing.
We wouldn't have to talk about that. What I would like is a motion to move ahead with these streets, these segments for 2020 for repair. So a recommendation to the village board to proceed with the following streets, the repair of the following streets in 2020, Arbor Lane and Stanton, St. Mary's, the west half of St. Mary's, and Garland Street from Webster to Libel.
We don't have to talk about 2021.
No.
We didn't cite it on the agenda.
And Roselawn, then, that would be a water. That wouldn't that's be a resource. Hour. That's just a water
reconstruction.
That would be 2021.
Yeah, and we're gonna have to talk about the reconstruction project, which happens every other year. Mm-hmm. Early next year, we're gonna have to decide on those streets, so that we can begin to design. Well, first of all, go on topo, and then begin the design of those street projects.
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Water utility simplified rate case.
You're looking at me?
I am. Yeah. You'd be the money man.
The information was provided in your packet, right? Our proposed water utility budget for 2020 is showing a negative cash flow. We've since looked at, there should be a rebate coming back from Central Brown County yep. Water Authority for 2019, I believe, instead of additional costs, which we were estimating in this budget. So with that adjustment made, we're coming out of the red into the black, but we still need to increase our rates to cover our costs. We're proposing this simplified rate case. It's easy to do. No public hearing, anything. There's got to be public notification. We don't even need board approval per the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin, which regulates the water utility. But we want to bring it to this committee, get your recommendation, go to the board with that. We're looking for a new billing clerk for the water utility. Once we get that person in place and comfortable, then I'd like to look at the full rate case, which we haven't had since 2016.
So what's the simplified increase?
3%.
Which is how much?
$104,000 is what it shows up to. And then within this document here, it's showing how it affects, like, the average residential user. 4,000 gallons of water, their bill is going to go up $5.07. So it's not a big impact, but it's incremental, and we need to do something to get a little bit of money flowing into that utility. So.
Yeah. And going through the budget, we weren't projecting to be behind, were we?
We're projecting, yes, with the cash flow. And that's because of the increased cost from, especially from the authority, and then our increased debt cost too. So,
but we're not borrowing this year. So where's the increased debt coming from?
It's from borrowing we did in 2019. Okay. That's affecting the 2020 budget.
And how much is the authority pushing this? How much of the increase is due to the authority versus us?
I've got about a $50,000 increase in the budget here, but I don't think that's exactly correct.
We have seen a fairly sizable increase, and that's mainly because This year was the last year of the rate stabilization, mm-hmm. and that money has run out. During the budgeting, last year when we were budgeting for this year, there was $100,000 that we had to help, you know, soften the central brown cut.
Yeah, I've got my hands on this number now.
Okay.
So it was $1.9 million 2019 after the rebate. It's $2,033,000
so for
2020, so $107,000.
Yeah. How long has it been since we've been to these rates?
What was that?
2016 was the last time?
Yeah, for the full.
Did
increase.
We go up roughly the same percent, 3% in 2016?
No, it would have gone up more. What they do is they take the cost and they give you like a rate of return.
Mm-hmm.
They authorize like a 3.5% rate of return. Right now, what they're doing is with the simplified, they're authorizing up to 5.9, I believe, 5.7. Our calculation is coming in at 4.8, and that's our return on our rate base. I can get the numbers on the increase from the 2016, but
well, we're doing 3.0, even though.
Otherwise, you have to go through a full rate case.
Mm-hmm. So, are we still going to be negative?
No, I do not believe so. Once if the rebate comes through with the authority, we should be fine in 2020. But looking to 2021, we need to get the rates up again.
And it's not really a significant rebate; it's a true up. We had projected earlier this year; it was projected that we would owe $15,000 to $30,000 in. Since then, we've used a little bit less, and other communities have used a little bit more. So there's been a swing where now it appears that we're going to get a true-up, a rebate of $5,000 plus or minus. That definitely helps the situation, but we don't have enough operating cash. That there isn't enough money there. It's concerning enough where we want to take advantage of the simplified rate case to improve our cash balance.
It puts us in a better position for our next bonding. We're looking at doing bonding in 2021.
Yeah, there's a coverage factor there.
Yep.
That the
will this impact sewer?
No.
Right now?
It's just the water. It's not. You've got your fixed charge with your meter charges. It doesn't affect that. It just affects that volume charge.
And is our sales of our sales of water down?
No,
I don't believe so.
No, we're gonna be pretty close to what we had projected. Okay. This year, we had projected 405 million gallons, and we're gonna slightly below that mark.
Sarcasm. If it's going to help us improve our bond rating, yet we're still going to be in the red, why again are we not doing
a
higher?
We'll be in the black.
We will be in the red. I'm sorry. I thought I heard that it wouldn't quite get us in.
Yeah, gets us out of the.
And we're just doing whatever we need to do just to get into the black as opposed to going with the full.
It's a little more in depth. There's a cost factor to do a rate case.
It's a ton more work, a PSC hearing. It costs us a lot of money to do that too.
We work with a consultant to actually lead that, and that's $5,000-$6,000 range.
But if we keep the rate of our increase lower, then we don't have to go through all the semantics.
Right. Yeah, you either do the full rate increase or what's called the simplified rate increase.
Thank you. Got it.
Okay, so half of the increase is due to our bonding last year. And half of the increase is due to the Water Authority.
To a certain extent.
And when do we retire our... We're supposed to have some big amount of debt being retired.
That would hit the budget, I believe, 2024. But we're going to be borrowing between now and then, and depending on how that layers, we might not have that relief. Just depends on how much more we borrow in the next couple of years. But right now, like I said, with the adjustment, with that estimate for Central Brown County Water Authority, it brings me to like $60,000 positive. If I can put this onto it, I'm up to $164,000, which might see us through part of 2021 then before we need to wait for case two.
And this would take effect February?
For the February consumption, so it hit your March bill.
So if a resident comes up and asks, why is our water so damn expensive compared to Bellevue?
Well, Bellevue's water is, roughly speaking, it costs the same amount because they're a member of the Central Brown County Water Authority.
Yeah, but isn't their water cheaper than ours?
I think they're pretty comparable.
Their raw purchase.
Green Bay is cheaper.
Yes.
Yeah, Green Bay is significant.
Green Bay, Ashwaubenon.
Just depends on your operating costs and your debt costs of your utilities. So with aging infrastructure, we're going to have more debt than our operating costs. I mean, this 2020 budget is reflecting the reduction of that one staff member. And we're still... What we could use is a full rate case, but without a clerk being in that position and having a little comfort level with the whole billing system and everything, they need to, you know, pull a lot of data and stuff like that. So
if you could, what would you raise it to? How much would you raise it?
I wouldn't. I can't.
No, if we did a full rate case, what would we ask for?
I can't even speak to that. We provide the information to them. They tell us what that rate is going to be based on usage and customer classification, all kinds of things.
Okay.
And what's happening now is, in the past, every year you have to prepare a report for the Public Service Commission, and they used to look at it and come back with questions and adjustments and stuff like that, and they're not doing that anymore. So when you do the full rate case, then they start opening that up and asking all kinds of questions, and it can get very tight. So.
Okay. So you are looking for a recommendation to the board to do what?
To recommend to the board, and like I said, we don't have to legally for the Public Service Commission, but we
don't want to.
We don't want to just implement that. So.
Okay.
Maybe this is in the right place, but how do we relay this to our neighbors and community? With the rate increase, how do we justify it to them in the communication? Do we just say it's added cost, or
this
it's
is
what we're being charged?
That is the notification that we're required to propose, and it says it's necessary to reduce the existing deficiency in present rates.
But that's basically it. This is what we're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh?
You know, it's not pleasant, but we're looking at storm rates, too.
Yeah, we're looking at our stormwater utility and that'll be another utility. We're going to get by next year, but there may be another utility where we're going to have to increase the rate. In that particular case, the cost per equivalent runoff unit, ERU. So, this increase is mainly because of the. The Central Brown County Water Authority no longer has money available to provide rate stabilization. We had gotten 100 and some thousand this year. That money has run out. So.
Okay. I'll make the motion.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Green Avenue Multimodal Local Supplement.
So in October, we had discussed this grant. I had indicated that we were going to work on putting together a grant application for Green Avenue. We didn't take any formal motion. Trevor and myself have started to put together a typical section, cost estimate, a narrative. We actually met today, Brad, myself, Trevor, Cole Runge, Brown County. We met with State Heritage Hill Park because we've added another component to this, to the scope of the project. When we talked in October, I'd indicated that that we wanted to proceed with Green Avenue as a candidate for this project. The scope of the project at that time consisted of a reconstruct with the construction of sidewalk on the south side from Libel to East River Drive. We have been in communication with the county and others about the safety of pedestrians crossing at Green and Webster Avenue. And Cole Runge has gone out through the
East Central Regional
Planning Commission has assisted in coming up with vehicle movement counts at that intersection, and just recently Cole had counted pedestrian movements, and we find that there's the need for a rapid flashing beacon at that intersection and some other improvements to that crossing to get people safely from one side of the roadway to the other. And we had discussed how it makes sense to add that improvement to this project because it would be a completion of that corridor. That it would add connectivity, would finish that project, the connectivity of the sidewalk. And we decided this today that it makes sense to add that to the scope of this to this project and to include that in this grant application. So what I would like is a motion to recommend to the Village Board to move ahead with Green Avenue for the MLS grant application due on the 6th of December. So,
any idea what percentage of the cost we might get? There's a
90%.
Yes, it's a 90,
good number.
Yeah, it's a 90-10%. Well, 90-10.
Well, it certainly helps connect. You know, we did the trail connect. Mm-hmm. You know what? 3 years ago now, is it more than that?
2012. Yeah,
you know, but 12.
2012.
Anyway, this would help that, I think.
Yep.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what is it with the Libel Street to East River Drive segment? I don't understand that. Green. So we're not. We are talking the entire length of Green Avenue, not necessarily just that section.
Two different parts been done from Webster Street to Libel. That's all done with sidewalk.
Sidewalk.
Yeah.
So but we still want to entertain a flashing beacon.
So to finish the connectivity of that corridor.
Okay.
To connect park to park with sidewalk.
Got it.
So that would be one component of the project, would be to add a rectangular rapid flashing beacon at Green and Webster. The other part of the project would be a full reconstruct of Green Avenue from Libel East to the East River, roughly speaking, 2,100 feet at a cost of ballpark number. We'll be refunding the cost estimate, but anywhere between $1.2 and $1.4 million.
In which we're responsible for 10%.
Yes.
If we get this.
Yeah.
Like sweetheart of a human being.
What do they think the traffic patterns, because it's so close to 172? And Webster, the crossing, that flashing beacon, they're all okay with that?
We had previously met with the county, Paul and Nick at the county, and they're supportive of the project. They don't have any funds to assist. They don't typically cost share in pedestrian and bike improvements. So they're comfortable with the project.
But they've assessed that possibility of the beacon? Because I was
the same thing with
rush hour or rush commute, whatever you want to call it, an hour around here, but that gets pretty congested, as is right now. You had a flashing beacon in there, less than 200 yards from that intersection.
It's actually longer than that.
It's less than 200, isn't it? From
172
to Green?
Yeah.
It's you have to get pretty irritated.
The traffic does back up and add. That's probably close, you know, 200 yards is that good ballpark number, probably from the park to 172. It would definitely help those that are parking on the east side of Webster to get to an event at the park.
Mm-hmm.
To help Heritage Hill a ton.
And they do have, you know, parking problems. So they don't have enough parking stalls for their larger events, so we can get people safely across.
Well, people park at the CP Center, and they'll walk up and cross.
Oh. Yeah, it's tough to cross there.
It is.
It's the Beacon, that's right.
Yeah. And we just recently installed one at Marine and Riverside Drive, mm-hmm. and the cost of that was $125,000. So, similar project. That'd be one component of that.
We use bigger flashing beacons.
Yeah, that one works. I mean, it works well.
Oh, yeah, it
really
yeah.
stand out.
But yeah. educating the drivers is still a challenge, because if you're trying to cross, you got to make sure people are stopping before you just assume. You know,
I think with a bone.
Because you got four lanes there. Well, here too, it would be four lanes.
Yeah.
So when do we find out where?
January?
I would hope in January.
That's
if we're that far, if we're fortunate to get it,
wow, yeah.
It will be extremely competitive, and there's $19 million plus or minus in the city village pot, so it's not a lot of money for.
Right. So intermodal would be
later's help us.
Biking, walking,
well,
cars.
And that was part of Qual's and Sean and Trevor. A recommendation, because it is the connectivity and it's multimodal, and to extend it all the way to the park made sense.
Yeah, perfect.
And the park,
bring it to the top.
Park is they're willing to provide us a letter of support. Cole Runge is going to do the same.
Cole, Brown County Planning Commission.
Hopefully, the application itself is fairly simple,
mm-hmm.
but.
We need a recommendation, a motion to recommend to the board that we do this.
Yes.
I would make that motion to recommend.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Nice.
DOT plans for Riverside Drive.
I have reached out to Andrew Fuller at WSDOT, project manager, that came in a couple months ago to talk about connectivity. From St. Joseph's to the Fox River Trail, and I had last month that presented to you what they had informed me of with the possibility of traffic signals either at Alloway Ave or St. Joseph Street. That if they're warranted, if the volume suggests that signals are warranted, that the village would be responsible for 100% of that cost. If knowing what that cost is, and at that time he had given me a cost of $1.5 to $1.7 million, knowing the cost of what it would take to install signals, if we were on board with that expense, they would go through the study to determine if signals were warranted, and I think it was somebody from this committee that said, well, can we just install the signals under the current conditions, be a lot less expensive. So I called Andrew and I said, hey, we're not looking for, you know, the Cadillac,
mm-hmm.
can we just put traffic signals out there as is? And called me back yesterday and indicated that he'll need to look into that, and if so, he'll come up with a new cost. I'll bring that back when I have.
So it's possible.
But he didn't indicate if it was. He said he'll look into it and get back to me, and if so, they'll put together a new cost estimate.
If not, we dig a damn tunnel.
Or a bridge.
That's good.
Bridge will lift up.
Yeah, bridge.
Yeah.
I know we have a village resident who helped raise money for that.
So that's the update.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
2019 Street Reconstruction Project Update.
So our construction projects have been completed.
Thank goodness.
With the exception of turf restoration, touch-up of turf restoration to be completed next year, and along with the placement of the final layer of asphalt on Oakwood, Oak Hill, Summit, Blackhawk, and Warren Court. The work has been completed.
And when would they hope to do that, in the spring, or would it be summer? Or
there are deadlines in the contract. Off the top of my head, it would be before the middle of June.
This is one.
Okay. May, June.
Yeah. Thank you for coming.
So, can I ask for some clarification? We've got 10, you guys did tons of work this year, 10 streets. Nowhere on this list, though. So, what is this, a third category of street maintenance that isn't on this list?
This list consists of both the reconstruction projects and the resurfacing repair projects. And so you'd have to look down below.
But I'm still confused, because according, if I heard you right, what we're planning on for 2020 is half of this road and two other roads, and that's it. Yet we had 10.
So this,
what am I missing?
This is a lot of bonding.
So this year, so
$6 million in bonding.
Every other year we have a reconstruction project.
Okay.
And so in 2019, we had pulled some of the streets from the reconstruction part of this CIP plan. So it's this list is made up of repair and reconstruction streets.
And next year at this time, we'll probably see a list of three streets or two and a half streets. But then the year after that, we should see maybe
a larger list. Yeah.
Or whatever.
Well, yeah.
Depending on the bonding.
We had.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry for the.
This.
No, it's really hard in the beginning. People don't. It's a lot to juggle.
We had a great year. We completed a lot of work.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll be doing the same in 2021.
I like your positive attitude. I mean, there were some huge challenges. I mean, weather being a major one, and just coordinating all of that. I mean, Oakwood and the side streets there.
That was
unbelievable. And juggling the residents' ability.
We did get a lot accomplished this year, and you know, everybody did an outstanding job. Jeff Piatti, Mike Mollick, Jim Sigalski, people up front, Carrie, Brad, it was a team effort. Julie, we did a lot. We accomplished a lot, and we got these streets paved just in the nick of time.
Literally.
Yes.
I live on the corner of one of those, so I got to witness, you know, up close and personal, and Jeff in particular was there all the time, and a lot of people, you just mentioned yourself, Jim, you know, running around there trying to stay ahead of the everything. It's not easy.
It started this time last year with you know, going out with an RFP to hire a consultant, and then starting the design, and then working with the utilities, the coordination that took place to make sure all of the utilities, private utilities, were out of the way before the project started, and it was a lot of work.
It would be nice if somehow, and I know this is totally not possible, but to be able to share that with residents that can get a better sense for the magnitude and everything that goes into it, and then the inconvenience might not seem quite so bad.
For a small community, we completed $5 million in street construction. That's a lot.
It is.
So.
I wonder if it's time to haul like a piece of our cast iron pipe back to the boardroom for just a little bit and highlight some of it, because what we've done in the past is bring some of those underground things that people just don't even see,
don't know.
And why the roads cost so much, and maybe show people again. Or one time we had a tour back through Public Works, and
yeah, we can do that.
Because it really does highlight the. Because I get people all the time asking about why does it cost so much to do the street. And then when you look at all the underground pieces to the street, the asphalt's just the minor part.
Yeah, and Blackhawk was added.
Surprise! You know,
it was added earlier this year. And
major water break.
We had a major water main break, and we had planned to reconstruct Blackhawk. It happened, and this spring, through the bonding, we were able to add it, and we got out, did the topo, put together the plans, and we were able to work with a contractor we already had a contract with that had a reconstruction project. They added it and got it done.
Is the water main map up today?
No, it's not.
Okay.
And it will be.
Well, when it is, that may be something to present again, because I don't think people realize how old some of our water mains are, too, and that gets taken into consideration with these streets.
And we reference that all the time, too. And after I had driven Roselawn, because originally I had planned for that to be rehabilitated and St. Mary's to be reconstructed in 2021, I drove it. I saw the hydrants that came in. Mike has a map in his office that shows the water main pipe material, and I looked at Roselawn. I'm like, it's cast iron pipe. And then I looked at St. Mary's, it's PVC, and learned that we had replaced the water main underneath St. Mary's in 2015. And I'm like, we got to flip flop this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to invest in the surface of the roadway if we're going to have water main breaks. So
didn't we have some? There's some residents up near Webster on Roselawn that had water in the basement. Was that from the broken water main, wasn't it?
I believe it was a water main break that was on the Webster side of
Webster,
that one.
Yeah.
That resulted in the flooding.
That
was bad. Yeah, some not happy campers there.
You don't say.
I know that we've talked to a number of people in St. Mary's that they've asked about the project, and we've indicated that, at that time we had indicated that St. Mary's is on the CIP plan, that it is currently shown as a reconstruct 2021. I think we're achieving the same result. In the end, there's going to be a new surface out there. By doing that project in phases, we can afford it. And at the end of 2021, we have a new roadway.
So they're kind of moving it up a year almost. I mean, half of it.
Well, and I'm sitting here wondering, are there other other projects slated for reconstruction that we can do the same thing, where we could extend the life of the roadway significantly without going through a reconstruct and the cost of that?
Very similar to what they've been doing on Riverside Drive.
Yep. I was going
to
say, how many million was that going to be? If a total redo, 25 million? 20? I don't remember.
It
was huge.
Yeah,
and they put that off for, now they're saying, what, like 10 years plus, maybe?
Yeah, and the resurface there.
Yeah,
10 more to be holding up.
2032-ish. They're planning another resurface project, 2025. Really, what controls or dictates that CIP plan is the schedule of the reconstruct projects. Those streets that still have a cast iron water main below it, along with the street condition, are those high priority streets. And then everything else kind of gets, you schedule that, and then everything else gets put in the street maintenance category, and then you look to see, okay, how soon can I get that street then down to the reconstruct? Is it 20 years from now? Then it somewhat helps the scope of that maintenance project. Or maybe it's 10 years out. Well, then now we're not going to rehabilitate that road. We're just going to go in and mill an inch, put down an inch of asphalt to extend that pavement long enough to get it to a reconstruct. So we're getting there.
Well, that's why this has got to be pretty fluid. I mean, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
I mean, we get feedback now and then. Well, how come that changed? Well, life changes.
Look at Blackhawk.
Yeah.
You're right. That wasn't.
Where do we have Blackhawk? It's out here somewhere.
Is it even on?
It's as a reconstruct.
2029.
We could have waited, I suppose.
Some of the, like I said, the feedback that we'll revise it with better numbers. And
how often do you think that should be revised?
Every couple of years.
You know, a lot of it's dictated on the prices.
And
we
the
see
water
about
main
a 30% increase. Instead of listing 5 to 6 streets, you're probably down to 2 to 3.
Mm-hmm. Is that the same format? That's the one Craig did, right?
Yeah.
How often do the roadways get evaluated for their phaser rating?
Every year. Every year we go and evaluate the roadways. We rate the roadways. Every other year we submit that information to the DOT. This year we will be submitting street ratings to the DOT.
If instead of trying to look into a crystal ball and say, okay, these are going to be done this year from reconstruct or whatever, if you know you can do that, that's great. If you don't, you look out maybe 1 to 2 to 3 years max and then list the other streets that are up for maintenance and
basically potentials.
I've seen it done that way. Yeah.
Because it changes
so
much due to things that are out of our control.
Right.
And you can just say by PASER rating or by priority or by length of time since it was last renovated. This is where it's approximately falling in line.
The CIP plan, in my opinion, probably shouldn't go any further than 5. And then, like you said, then you have a list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have your blue sky list here, you know, and then that one and this one. I mean, that's really...
And it'll still change.
Totally not. Right.
And then CIP will be dictated by the reconstruction projects.
That way you don't have to tell residents, yeah, it'll be done in 2029.
Oops.
Right.
It's on the list.
For 2029. It's on our list, but we don't know when it will be done.
1 through 5 individually, and then 5 to 10 years is the last group.
Yeah.
And
possibilities.
It's a guide and it's a tool that we use for planning.
Yeah, I'd love to get a copy of it when we update this one because it looks like it's been 2 years since this has been updated. So that'd be great. No mind.
Yep. No, we're going to bring after we've gotten information back from other communities on their bid openings, unit prices for reconstruction projects. We'll reevaluate that. We'll bring that. Jeff and I will work on that. And then when we get a draft, we'll bring that through this committee.
So the reconstruct prices that you're estimating, are you basing those off of this past year's funding or previous?
The resurfacing projects? Combination was an average of what we had seen this year and what we had received in 2017 and 2018. So it's.
Yeah. We're hoping we'll look at that a little bit.
On top of that, I added a 10% contingency. So if. I don't think. I hope that we can get done what we're proposing. I mean, that would be. It'd be great. I don't know what to expect, but I know that as soon as. As early as we can to get these out, these projects out, the better off we are. So that's why we're talking about it now. In the past, we hadn't gotten these projects out until the end of February, early part of March. So,
earlier the better, you said.
Yes.
Would there be some value in tracking that cost on this sheet as well, just anecdotally in the past, and just so people can reference that, whether it's by linear feet for curves or square yard for resurface, and just put what it was
per
at
foot
that
per mile cost.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. People could see the trend.
And the CIP plan can include the previous 2 years, like you said, and with that cost, right? It's easy enough to do. Yeah.
Hope to have it on you.
And that wasn't the intent. I had scanned it. That's why I had Jeff highlight what we had done in the past, and so that we could you knew what that was, and I was surprised that this year we had selected 4 streets to be repaired that weren't on the CIP.
All the more reason I think we update this, especially throwing in the incredible amount of work you guys did this year, and it's just going to be something that we can use as a tool when we've got neighbors and residents that are ticked off or confused. We can kind of refer back to this a little bit and say, look, there's a lot of work that's been done and continued.
Okay, we've got some happy customers on East Briar. We were able to take care of that patch.
I saw the one right at Webster and East Briar. Were you able to do
that? I did that. We were able to do that other one, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Cool. And that's a skin patch, no different than what we had put on St.